Jesus of Nazareth, you were asking about the Galilean? Well, I can tell you about him. It was a long time ago, of course. I was young back then, a young woman. But I remember about the Galilean, about Jesus, as if it were only yesterday. We lived in a village just outside of Jerusalem back then, Reuben and I, and the children. We had a small house. The house was nice enough. It was nice enough to have an upper room on the flat roof, not very different maybe from other houses. And I had a few flowers up there on the roof in some pots. I had them to remind me of my old home out in the country, you know, and Reuben laughed at me, but it was important to me to have those flowers, those flashes of color. It was special. But our house wasn't a large house. It wasn't fancy. It was large enough for us, for Reuben and me, and for Reuben's mother, who lived with us back then, and the children, Joseph and Deborah. My friends liked to tease me about being rich because we had an upper room and a donkey. But we really weren't rich, not at all. Not then, and not now. but you wanted to know about Jesus the Galilean. Well, I had heard of him. Everyone in our village had heard about him. The Roman soldiers who were all around, they talked about him. The travelers at the well, they talked about him. Traders coming through with their caravans and their goods for sale, they talked about him. Everyone was talking about this Galilean. And at first it was just a story here and there about someone attracting crowds. A new rabbi up in Galilee. They said he was healing people, even blind people. He was making it so the lame could walk. He was even casting out demons, so they said. Oh, yeah, we had heard about this Jesus. Everyone had. And we had even seen him once. It was the time we took Reuben's mother to see Aunt Sarah and Uncle Simeon up in the hills. The people in their village were talking as we arrived, saying that new rabbi, the Galilean, was out on the hillside with his disciples, gathering there, out from the lake. And our son Joseph was just a boy, but he was excited hearing all this talk, and he came, you know, like how boys are, always jumping around. He came and he said, "Come on, Mother, let's go too. Let's find out about this rabbi." Well, so we went. How could we say no? We had brought Reuben's mother to see her sister, so we didn't have any other plans. And after all, the whole village seemed to be going. I guess we were really all curious, just curious, wondering what this teacher was like. We all sort of hoped we would see something miraculous. You know, demons running down into the lake, maybe. Or a mountain being moved off in the distance. Yeah. Or maybe hundreds or even thousands of us fed by a loaf of bread. Yum. So all of us headed out there, just crowds going up the trails into the hills. And sure enough, when we got there, we saw him out on the hillside. Crowds gathered all around. There were children everywhere. Many were gathered up close so they could hear what Jesus was saying. It was a little bit like synagogue. You know, the men were over here on one side, and we women had hung back a little, and we gathered together on the other side. They always divided the men from the women, you see, like in the synagogue. Well, most of us had just come out of curiosity to see who he was, to see what he was like, to see what was going on. But here he was, sitting on this rock in the sun with a breeze blowing and talking about God. He's talking about what he called the kingdom of heaven. Now, maybe Reuben and I were not what you would call, maybe not what you would call religious. You're church people, of course. You know what religious is. But we did keep the laws. We kept the Sabbath. We observed all the festivals. We gave alms to the poor as much as we could. I considered us a faithful Jewish family. I hope you understand that. I hope that would make you feel good about who we were. But here we were out on this hillside with Jesus sitting on a rock talking about God. And you know what? It was as if God was really there. As if God was really there. I'm not sure how, maybe in the sunlight, or in the breeze, or in all those crowds of people, but I could feel a power, a presence that I had never felt before. Or maybe it was just all the excitement. But then the things that Jesus said. He called God Abba. That's like your word, Papa or Daddy. Abba, he called him. He talked about religion, like being religious was more than just keeping the laws and being at synagogue on Sabbath. Like being faithful had something to do with actually knowing God. Actually knowing God. As if maybe the laws weren't enough. As if religion touched your whole life. He talked about loving others, even your enemies. He talked about letting your light shine for all to see. He talked about forgiving those who hurt you or hurt others that you care about. Well, afterwards, at the end of the day, we walked silently back to Aunt Sarah's. That day, the children ran on ahead, jumping and chattering the way children do. But we grown-ups were thinking our own thoughts. I don't really know about the others I was walking with, but I felt as if I had been changed somehow. As if out there on that hillside, I had really seen God for the first time ever. And as if I had been changed, had become new. Everything seemed different somehow. And you know, that feeling was both happy and sad. It was joyful and it was confusing. I wanted to hear more. Then again, I didn't. I don't know. It was really odd. Maybe you could understand how that felt. To suddenly look at your life and the things you believed in a whole new way. Well, we went back home, back to Jerusalem, back to our day-to-day lives. And truly after that, I began to listen for news about Jesus, about the Galilean. When I went to the well, I would hope someone would have something to tell, or in the market as we looked over the fish or the grain in the stalls, I would listen. And we did hear about Jesus of Nazareth more and more as the days went on. People he'd healed, towns he'd visited, synagogues where he had preached, stories he'd told. Miracles. And when Jesus raised that man Lazarus from the dead, all of Jerusalem was talking about it. Already 4 days in the tomb, and Jesus calls him back to life. Lazarus, come out, he calls, and the dead man comes out, walking out of the tomb. Can you believe that? And Jesus tells the other men around there, unbind him and let him go. That's right. That's what he said. Unbind him and let him go. As if it wasn't a miracle. As if it happened every single day that someone raises a dead man. Well, there was something special about Jesus, something amazing, that's for sure. But you know, come to think of it, it was after the stories about Lazarus that the other talk began, scary talk. People began to say that the Galilean named Jesus was a sorcerer, an imposter. Or worse, they said he was a blasphemer, that he claimed to be God, and that was the worst crime of all. Some even said he was crazy. Most of us thought the priest must be afraid of Jesus, of the crowds of people who followed him everywhere he went. And the Roman soldiers who were all around, they just laughed at all this talk. To them, the affairs of us Jews seemed trivial, seemed foolish, but it wasn't trivial, not at all. After all, Passover was approaching, and that's our most important feast. Passover is when we remember the way God delivered our people from Egypt, from slavery. It's when the Lord God killed the firstborn sons of Egypt to free the people of Israel. And the angel of death passed over the Israelites' houses because of the blood of a lamb smeared on the doorpost. The lamb's blood and the power of God saved our people. So every year we Jews celebrate the Passover, and many come to Jerusalem to observe the Passover at the Holy Temple. And the speculation was that this year Jesus was going to come with his disciple band to celebrate the Passover. And the tension in the air was really incredible. It became dangerous, you see, even to talk about Jesus of Nazareth, to ask about him, to appear interested in him. Word went out that good, self-respecting Jews like Reuben and me were not to offer any kind of hospitality to blasphemers. By that they meant Jesus. Who else could they have meant? And that's what it was like that year as we approached our most joyful, most reverent feast, as we approached Passover. Well, Jesus came to Jerusalem, all right. Even with all that dangerous talk, I'm sure he had been warned not to come, but he arrived the first day of the week, just before Passover. And perhaps it would have been all right if he had just come into Jerusalem quietly, not causing any kind of stir, but no. No, instead of coming quietly and drawing no particular attention, he rode into town on a donkey, just like a conquering hero or something, like a king. And did you know, it was our donkey, Reuben's and mine. And I hope you understand about this. We didn't really know Jesus, except that we'd heard all those stories and we'd seen him teaching out on the hillside that one time. Why, Reuben and I hadn't even talked about him. I wasn't sure what Reuben thought about this Jesus. I had sort of hoped he hadn't sensed my feelings that day coming down from the hillside. I felt foolish enough, just thinking all those strange thoughts about God, about all that. But the day the young men came to our house to get the donkey, it was as if we knew they were coming. Little Joseph had brushed the animal down and tied it out by the street. We never did that, but it was kind of as if we had known. I was in the house that morning, and I heard Reuben asking these two dusty young men what they were doing, untying our donkey. He should have been shouting. He had a temper back then. But instead, he walked up quickly to those men, and he talked rather quietly. "What do you want of our colt?" he asked. "The Lord needs it," they answered. That was all they said. "The Lord needs it." So, how can I explain it to you? How can I help you understand? There was real fear in our village as this Passover approached. There was a certainty that Jesus of Nazareth, this teacher, this healer, well, maybe he wasn't really a troublemaker, but he was certainly one around whom trouble was brewing. And we knew that showing an interest in him was risky, but to help him, to allow him the use of our donkey, that should have put an icy sort of fear in our hearts. And instantly I thought of our children, of Deborah and Joseph, of our peaceful lives, of our secure place in the village. But you know what else I thought of? I thought of that day on the hillside and the power we had sensed there in the presence of God all around us. I had felt then that religion should touch our very lives. And now it was touching our lives, our very lives. The Lord needs it, they had said about our donkey. I stepped to the doorway and watched as Reuben himself untied the rope and handed it to the men. And he bowed low as they took the donkey and led it away. He didn't look at me, but he stepped back into the doorway and stood there beside me as they led that colt down the road, and I could tell that he was trembling a bit. And there were tears in his eyes. But he was standing tall and proud. The Lord needs it, he finally said to me. And that was all. But we had been changed. We now knew the Lord, the Messiah. And God's Passover was upon us, for the Passover lamb had come. Amen.